This is the cry of Advent from Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget us forever? How long will you hide your face from us? How long must we bear pain in our soul and have sorrow in our heart? This from Psalm 10 is the wail of the waiting heart. Why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? From Psalm 44, this is the longing of the forgotten. Awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our misery and oppression? From the prophet Habakkuk in his first chapter, this is the desperate plea of the one in need. How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make us look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Oh. This has been the cry of the human heart since Adam and Eve first walked out of the garden. It was the cry of Israel, enslaved for centuries, burdened by faint memories of a promised land and a chosen people. It was the cry of those same people, 1,000 years later, abandoned and forgotten by their silent God as they lived in exile. It was the cry of Jesus' earliest followers, years after he left them and failed to return. And it is our cry, millennia after Jesus' death and resurrection, living in a pandemic world fraught with injustice. And it's into this world, in response to our cry, that God speaks through the prophet Isaiah. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. See, the Lord God comes with might. And his arm rules for him. His reward is with him and his recompense before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. It's into our lament, into our despair, perhaps, that John the Baptizer appears and declares, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming." It's an answer to our longing that Peter reminds us. The Lord, he is not slow about his promise, as some think of slowness, but is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. I have to say that this promise from Peter hits me deep, deep in my heart this week. It convicts me. It calls me out. God, you see, is patient. God doesn't want anyone to perish. And I realize that as I cry out to God for Jesus' return, as I wail to him to end the suffering of this world, to bring his kingdom, I don't actually share God's patience. I don't share God's desire to see all come to repentance. How can that be? How is it that I, who am called to love like Jesus loved, do not love enough to be willing to continue to wait? In 2 Peter, we read, the Lord is patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. And I am convicted by that. I wonder if any of you are also convicted by that. In this week's Looking to Sunday article, which I send out each week through This Week at Walmer, and which is posted on the website, I shared this quote from Henry Nouwen. He wrote, "A waiting person is a patient person. The word patience means the willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full in the belief that something hidden there will manifest itself to us." And as I reflect on my impatience this week, as I consider God's slowness and my frustration with that slowness, as I admit that there are some in this world that I would be happy to see perish, There are some in this world that I don't want in God's kingdom. I'm convicted. I wonder, perhaps, if any of you are also convicted. It forces me to ask, who do I think that I am? That I am somehow worthy of God's kingdom while others aren't? That I somehow deserve to be included because what? Because I was lucky enough to be born to Christian parents who brought me up in a church-going home that grounded me in the things of God and encouraged me to invite Jesus to be the Lord of my life? Because what if I was born somewhere else? What if I was born to a different family? What if I was born in a different country, in a different situation? As I'm reflecting on my impatience this week, I'm convicted, and I wonder if perhaps you are similarly convicted. Peter wrote, "The Lord is patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to repentance." The cry for Jesus' return, the wail of longing that spills forth from the depths of my heart and probably your heart, the lament that passes through our lips, it's not wrong. I don't want you to hear me saying that we're not allowed to lament, that we're not allowed to cry out to God. Lament is biblical. Even Jesus, as he knelt in the garden not long before he was arrested to be crucified, cried out to God in lament when he said, "God, if it's at all possible, take this cup from me." God can handle our lament. God is okay with our cries and our pleas and our longing. God is okay with our frustration and even our impatience. But God is never okay to just leave us as we are in the waiting, in the lamenting and the crying out. God has something to teach us. He has something to do in us. But if we're so focused on the unfairness of everything, or on the wrongness of things, or on God's silence or absence or apparent lack of care and concern, if we're so focused on our own sorrow or our own grief or our own frustration, if we're so focused on these things, we risk missing it when God speaks or when God shows up again. I wonder if the people of Israel so long ago were so focused on the oppression and the injustice and their own suffering under Roman rule that maybe is part of why they missed Jesus altogether when he came. Why, despite angel choirs singing from heaven, most people were deaf to his arrival. I think this is what Henry Nouwen was pointing to when he wrote, "The word patience means the willingness to stay where we are and live the situation out to the full in the belief that something hidden there will manifest itself to us, something hidden in the waiting, something hidden in the lament, in the cries, in the despair, something in that time will manifest itself to us." I'm sure that this is what Peter was talking about when he asked the question, "What sort of persons ought you to be in leading lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God?" It's what Peter meant further when he wrote, "Therefore, beloved, while you're waiting for these things, strive to be found by him at peace without spot or blemish." See, when all we do is lament, when all we feel is the despair, the absence of God, when all we focus on is God's silence in the face of the world's wrongness, we tend to drift further and further and further away from Jesus. We become more and more inward focused, self-involved, self-concerned. Even if it starts as lament for the world, if we stay there, bitterness creeps in and our righteous anger transforms into selfish entitlement. Lament, it's okay. It's right. It's biblical. It's important. But we must not stay there. I'm going to invite you to hear it in the Psalms of Lament I read at the beginning of the sermon, a couple of them, and hear how they make a flip. The first psalm is Psalm 13. If you've got your Bible you want to follow, feel free to do that, or just listen. Psalm 13 began with these words, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" You can hear the angst. You can maybe put yourself in those same words, depending what's going on in your life right now. But when we read a bit further in, the psalmist chooses not to remain in lament. And so when we get to verses 5 and 6, which is the end of this short psalm, we read these words, but, it all starts with a but, or therefore, or however, but I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. It's the same in Psalm 10, just a few psalms earlier. In Psalm 10, which begins this way, why, O Lord, do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? But then that psalm, it goes on and on, and we hear all of the crying out, all of the angst, some of it, which really fits, I think, for some of our lives, some of our circumstances. But as we progress through it, we get to verses 17 and 18, where we read this, O Lord, you will hear the desire of the meek. When I read this, I'm not hearing somebody who's got an easy faith who just goes, oh, I can just spout these kind of things. There's a choice in that, in the declaring out loud, in the naming something, even if he still feels like God is absent, he's far off, he's hidden, he's declaring out loud a choice to believe. Oh Lord, you will hear the desire of the meek. You will strengthen their heart. You will incline your ear to do justice for the orphan and the oppressed so that those from earth may strike terror no more. I don't know if the psalmist felt all that confidence or if he just chose to speak the words out loud, but let me tell you, there is power in speaking the words out loud, regardless of what we believe in the moment. One of the refrains in lots and lots of the psalms is this, nevertheless, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. That, if you're going to memorize any phrases from scripture, that's a great one to memorize, especially when you are feeling the absence of God, especially when you are caught up in the lament, the sadness, the grief, especially when you are overwhelmed by the oppression and the injustice you see in the world around you, especially when you are shaking your head at the number of people who are dying from this pandemic, who are ignoring its reality, whatever it is, to be able to declare out loud, nevertheless, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's not a statement necessarily where you're going, oh, it's all going to be okay because nevertheless, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's a statement of faith. We need to say it, especially when we're not believing it, especially when we're not feeling it, especially when our whole life feels like it's being lived in that minor key and we're crying out in lament, to train ourselves, to teach ourselves to come back to that place. Because the more we speak the words, the more likely it is that we will get to a place of believing it. I want to walk you through Psalm 130. I didn't read this one earlier, but I'm going to read it now. And again, invite you to follow along if you have your Bible with you in this. Psalm 130. And it too is this great, it's such a great song, Psalm of Lament. Hear the psalmist speak these words. Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there's forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. Pausing for a moment, perhaps this morning you're feeling convicted like I've been convicted this week. Perhaps you also feel the impatience of waiting. And recognize that in that impatience, there is a failure perhaps to love as Jesus loved. If you're feeling that, the psalmist reminds us there is forgiveness with God. He continues, or she continues, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And in his word, I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning. These words, this waiting for the Lord and hoping in his word, this is the invitation of Advent, to wait, and in the waiting, to hope. O Israel, the psalmist continues, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. O church, it's like he's saying, oh, church, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. Whatever the world looks like to you, whatever your own life is like right now, O church, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. Not just those we say need to be redeemed, but ourselves, us who wait, us who are perhaps impatient for God's kingdom to come. That redemption is there for us as well. With the Lord there's steadfast love. It's he who will redeem me, who will redeem you, who will redeem the church from all our iniquities, including all of our impatience. This is what happens if we just sit in our lament and we don't go to that place of declaring, nevertheless, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. If we don't allow ourselves to go there, then we don't get to the place of receiving this extraordinary forgiveness, this extraordinary redemption, this extraordinary work that God wants to do in us in the waiting. In the hardship of sitting there going, God, where are you? God, why can't we hear you? God, why aren't you doing anything about this or this or that? God is at work in us. God is at work building us up, making us aware of our own sinfulness, of our own need for redemption, perhaps humbling us, perhaps teaching us, perhaps calling us to a deeper level of faith. I don't know what the work is that God has to do in you. I know that for me, the work that God's been doing in me this week is all about convicting me that with every cry, come, Lord Jesus, come, I am in some way saying, and forget about all those people who haven't gotten to you yet. I'm fed up. In my time, God, I want you to come. But the Lord is patient because he wants all people to come to him. Over the next few minutes, I invite you to spend some time reflecting with God yourself on your waiting. And in doing that, I'm going to be playing for you a song that's titled How Long. And it's a song of lament that gives voice perhaps to our own lament. If you need to just mute it to go in your own place, feel free, you can do that, or allow the music to invite you into a place with God. What I love about song is just like the Psalms, it doesn't stay at that lament. It moves into the reminder, the hope that this waiting is not forever. And so I'm going to share the screen so that those of you who have access can see the lyrics and deal with all that. Just let the music, let the words speak to you, or like I said, mute it and spend some time right now reflecting with God on your waiting. Maybe you're in this time of lament and you need God to show you what it is he's trying to do with you in it. Maybe you need a swift kick to get out of the lament and be able to say those words, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Maybe you need to say those words over and over and over again in this time. That's okay. Use this time however you need to do, however God might be drawing you into his presence to speak to you this morning. And so I invite you to hear this song.